word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Rising costs and concerns about safety have many people reevaluating what they eat and where it comes from. A huge portion of Americans consume fatty, sugary, and cheap industrial food. Many others have started their own crops in community and backyard gardens. And many others would like to start gardening, but don't quite know where to begin. Brett Markham is an engineer and third-generation farmer in New Ipswich, New Hampshire. 2 years ago, he published Mini Farming, Self-Sufficiency on a Quarter Acre. It was a guide for practiced and aspiring gardeners. With no media push or fanfare, this book is still waitlisted on Amazon and still selling like crazy. A new book called Maximizing Your Mini Farm is now out. It incorporates reader responses and questions that came out, and it came out just in May. He's here to talk with us about some suggestions for getting started on a back or even front yard garden. Brett, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Nice to see you.
Mini farming was a huge and surprise hit in publishing circles. Was it a surprise to you?
Not so much. The reason why I wrote it was because I had become aware that the economy was failing, and I figured I'd give people some help. And if people are going to need help, they're going to turn to a resource like that. So that it had some success was not surprising. The degree of success was surprising, though.
It's the new book, Maximizing Your Mini Farm, is very, very of the moment and really acknowledges that the sluggish economy is continuing to recover slowly, rising food prices. And this is a time when people really are reevaluating their habits. Now, you're prompting readers not only to question where our food comes from, but even the value of owning a home. I'd love to hear more about that. You say our homes are more like expensive hotels. How does that relate to self-sufficiency?
Well, I had looked at it from a historical perspective. I grew up, I'm a third-generation farmer. I had grown up on a farm. And growing up on the farm, we provided most of our own needs from the farm. So the property, in a sense, paid for itself. Whereas in the modern era, most people go out and they buy a house and then they go to work and then they come back and they only use it for watching TV and to mow the lawn on weekends. And so they're spending an awful lot more money. And one of the things that has really hurt people is they're upside down on their mortgages. Mm-hmm. And so now they have something in which they're investing money. They're getting nothing back in a lot of cases, or less than nothing back. And they're getting no day-to-day return on it. So the idea of turning your home into a center of production rather than a center of consumption is an idea that lends itself to a greater return on that investment.
It makes a lot of sense, but I think a lot of people look at a book like this and think, oh, this is for other people, people who have time to start gardening, who'd rather just go to the supermarket maybe and buy their veggies. So what's your argument for getting over that hump and growing your own food?
Well, the methods I lay out in Mini Farming, Self-Sufficiency on a Quarter Acre, I optimized by virtue of the fact that I work a full-time job. So I work a full-time job, I come home, and I'm able to work a mini farm because I set out methods such that they would be time efficient so that people would be able to use it even if they're working a full-time job. So time is not really an excuse. And of course, there are very good reasons why you'd want to grow your own food. It tastes better. It hasn't been bred for shipping. It hasn't been contaminated with who knows what. It's going to be more healthful in terms of micronutrients, a whole bunch of other very good reasons why you'd want to be growing your own food, not to mention the fact you'll save a lot of money.
How much can you grow in a quarter acre?
Hypothetically, I figured out that you could grow about $140,000 worth of vegetables annually on a quarter acre. Now, in practice, you don't need to bring that much into production, and a quarter acre is way more than you need. I use about 1,000 square feet. And I produce right at $7,000 to $8,000 worth of food a year.
And there are loads of practical tips in here. You actually, being an engineer, help design and invent some tools for gardening and others you suggest. Big part of the book is this crop-by-crop guide from asparagus to turnips, prepping the soil, big concern about the quality of soil in yards. Now, you suggest raised beds. Why?
There are a lot of good reasons for raised beds. Raised beds get warm earlier in the season, which is important in a place like New Hampshire. And that extends out your season a little bit. As you'll notice, we've had a lot of rainfall in the past couple of weeks. If you have any sunken areas in your yard, your crops are going to get waterlogged, and raised beds solve that problem. In addition, they allow you to practice standard farming techniques in terms of being able to do crop rotation from bed to bed. So you'll grow corn one year, watermelons the next in a bed. And as a result, you don't build up pest and disease problems. So raised beds allow you to clearly delineate those areas.
How about pests? The deer have just discovered our vegetable garden. So do we build a fence, let it go, see how far the damage goes?
What I've used is an electric fence, and I've used it in a unique way. What you do is you string a single strand of electric fencing wire around your property, and then you put some tinfoil with peanut butter on it. And what happens is the deer get attracted to the peanut butter. They go and give it a munch, and they go away and don't come back.
I guess not. Oh, how about the other bane of every gardener, weeds, which you point out can come disguised in some very unlikely places.
Yeah, a lot of times people think that adding manure directly to their beds, especially horse manure, is a good idea. But it's not a good idea for a couple of reasons, one of which, of course, is it can carry worms and intestinal parasites. But the other is that it will carry undigested weed seeds that will definitely grow like wildfire in your beds. So, you know, you definitely have to be careful what you put in the bed to start with. But yes, dealing with weeds is an important problem. It's not as big when you're doing intensive planting in raised beds because they tend to get shaded out by plants that are spaced closely together.
So it's just in the beginning that you really
It's mostly in the beginning, or if you're growing plants that are widely spaced.
Okay, one thing I've noticed this year, and I've heard from a lot of people, chipmunks are fatter and glossier and more plentiful this year than ever, probably because of the soft winter. What do we do about chipmunks?
Well, what I've usually done is I've put a short fence around the garden. Just chicken wire 18 inches high has been sufficient. For burrowing type critters, I have wound up putting some wire in the bottom of my raised beds from time to time.
We're talking about a quarter acre of your yard and how you can turn it into enough to feed a family and then some. Brett Markham's with us. He's an engineer and third-generation farmer on Markham Farm in New Ipswich. He's author of a new book called Maximizing Your Mini Farm. Well, you write about making your own wine and cheese and, of course, putting food by. This is things that readers can pick up on. But something that really interested me is some of your techniques for food self-sufficiency. You have a number of tricks there. One, prepare two meals instead of one. What do you do?
Well, the idea there is people spend about a third of their weekly food budget on eating out, mainly because they don't have a lot of time. So what you do is you save that time by making it so that whenever you do cook, instead of cooking enough for just that one meal, cook enough of it for two meals or even three meals, because most of the time you invest is in the prep time. The actual cooking time is going to be the same in most cases. So with investment of just a tiny bit of time, you actually buy back the time for food preparation the next evening or the next evening. If you do this over a period of time and you package separately your main courses and your vegetables, starches, or whatnot that you're eating, you're going to be able to have a mix and match menu any night of the week that you would usually eat out.
I like the tone of this book. Oftentimes when we hear about, you know, making our own food, there's a kind of moralizing kind of tone that goes into it. But you say use aluminum baking pans, use disposable containers.
Right, because the idea is the primary benefit to you and the primary reason why you do this, the primary reasons are for your health by eating more healthful food and for your finances. And if these things work out to be more economically efficient and to make it feasible for you to eat healthier foods, then that little bit of extra expenditure is not the end of the world. And these things are also recyclable.
So you use a weekend to get a head start, is what you say. So prepare a bunch of food on the weekend, which is something I actually do.
Absolutely. Sundays usually cook several courses. I cook the salmon that I ate this morning, you know, on Sunday, and the swordfish that I ate yesterday I cooked on Sunday. And so by starting out in advance during the week, if you have a night that you get home and you can't cook, which is the whole reason why you're eating out to start with, you've got that head start, so you only practically have to have time to cook one or two nights a week.
Also, you make your own drinks.
Yes, I make wine, I make beer. I have another book coming out later on fermented foods where I describe how to make beer. I like making wine. I don't really drink that much wine, strangely enough, but I make it mostly for gifts that I give away at Christmas and things like that.
In fact, there's a whole chart in here of how much fruit goes into each different kind of wine, what kind of yeast you use. So a pretty practical guide. But I wonder, Brett, do you have time for anything else but, you know, growing and making food?
Oh, absolutely. I figured it out by, I keep logs. And if you figure it throughout the year, of course, I spend more time in the summer than I do in the winter. But if you figure it throughout the year, I spend in the neighborhood of 45 minutes to an hour a day.
We've heard an awful lot about the economic and the health arguments for growing our own food. I wonder if it has to be quantifiable for people to make a change in their life.
No, absolutely not. Anything that you can do in that regard is going to be of benefit to you because you're going to feel good for having done it. There's a sense of accomplishment. There's a tangible personal value to the fact that I made chicken soup that I canned a couple of weeks back that was made with chickens that I had raised, with all fruit, all vegetables that I had raised myself. Everything in it was something that I had made. And when I give that to somebody, they put a significant value to that fact that everything in it is something that came from me.
I wonder, Brett, how's your garden looking with all the June monsoon we've been experiencing?
It's actually looking pretty good. A large portion of the garden is actually started back in April, because a lot of plants such as cabbages and broccoli and things like that don't have to wait until last frost before you plant them.
And that's growing like crazy right now, I imagine.
It is.
Lots and lots of rain. Well, I want to thank you for coming in today, and thank you for this book. I think it might help some people get over that hump. Appreciate
your time.
Well,
thank you.
Brett Markham, an engineer and third-generation farmer in New Ipswich. He has a new book out called Maximizing Your Mini Farm. It's kind of a compendium or addendum to Mini Farming, Self-Sufficiency on a Quarter Acre, his previous book. It's a guide for practiced and aspiring gardeners. And there's more in the book at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also find links or follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Tell us, how does your garden grow? Coming up, need to get to the post office? You better go quickly. A New Hampshire town's PO saves money by being open only a half hour a day. It's when Word of Mouth continues.